gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now.
Yeah, on the tank, Evito. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Solana, the Herons are back. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 170 of the Battle Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, is usually KBD, but he is being a little baby, complaining about his little toothache. So, doing us the favor of jumping in, Mr. Daniel Solana, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing absolutely terrible, sir. I thought that, you know, the Herons were going to win 3-1. Unfortunately, they lost 3-1. It wasn't the score that I thought that, you know, that was going to happen. Wasn't the, you know, the game plan I thought that was going to happen. But unfortunately, now we got one thing past us. We can look forward to, you know, the rest of the year, which is the Leagues Cup and MLS Cup.
Well, 100%. And obviously, we're going to post game, we're going to talk about the game, but definitely we're going to talk about it. We have to put this to bed and then, unfortunately, just look forward to other things. And I know the Tata out thing is going to be talked about a lot today. And for those of you wondering where it says live score on the bottom left, we did do a live watch along. So that's why you see the live score there. We kind of just left that up there, aggregate score. 5-2, we lost. And I guess we could start at the beginning, even though everybody seems to be very disgusted, and with rightly so. CJC, rumor is Tata is pissed the ref called the game with no extra time, quoted saying, "My starting 11, we're just getting we're just getting warmed up." Okay, I thought he was serious at first. Okay, but I love it. I love it, and I believe it. I mean, we usually start chronologically. But I feel like there's something that needs to be asked before we start talking about what happened in the beginning of the game and the starting 11. What I need to ask you and everybody in the chat, so please chime in. And I'm sticking with it, ABC. I still think that Monterrey would have lost if Messi plays the first game and we don't get the red card, so you could suck it. All right. What I need to ask, we went a full game and not one substitution. What the hell?
What the hell? I'm with you, D. I'm with you all the way. I mean, that I had subs on the bench. He had Ben Krem. He had Lawson Sunderland. He had a couple of other, you know, options. He had Afonso on the bench. He had other guys. And thank you so much for, you know, all you guys that are, you know, doing all these super, super comments.
Super
with all, you know, with all these calls. This is awesome. Awesome.
But and Tariq, this game was, he says, this game was so poop. The players played like they didn't want to even be there. Messi looked like he didn't want to be there. Please do more live watch-alongs. Appreciate that. I honestly don't think that I felt that with Messi and everything, with everyone. I think that they came out trying. I do think that that Drake error deflated the team. I felt 100%. Like that deflated the team. The fan base, even though I tried my best to stay positive and say, we needed two goals regardless, and that hasn't changed. But it still deflated me. It deflated everybody watching. And I'm sure it deflated the players on the pitch also, because at that point, you're pissed. You're like, let's kick their ass. And then you give up a silly goal like that. That has to be deflating.
100%. I mean, especially somebody that's played the game and you're in that type of atmosphere where it's, you know, you're playing a final essentially and your goalie lets a dumb mistake like that, it completely deflates the team. It changes your mentality in terms of your strategy, Now you have to change everything you're doing, because Tata had a strategy going into that game. Inter Miami was, you know, I guess accomplishing that strategy throughout the first half. You know, now Drake does this silly goal and you have to change everything up. You got to open up the game. And then that's where you get, you know, goal number two, goal number three. And it gets kind of opened up, you know, opened up the floodgates.
And Estavo here saying the ball almost never came to Messi. What in the live watch along, we were talking about it. It looked like Monterrey took our game plan from the first game and implemented it in the second game. The first game we said, you're not getting the ball to Canales. You're not getting the ball to Brandon Vasquez. Good luck beating us wide. And then Monterrey said today, you're not getting the ball to Messi. You're not getting the ball to Suarez. If they want the ball, they're going to have to go find it deep in their own midfield, or they're going to have to find it wide. And that's what they were forcing us to do. And it was really hard to get the ball to Messi and the guys up front because they kept forcing us wide. And again, same thing we did to them. And it was just as frustrating, I'm sure, as they felt. We felt that way today. So, I mean, kudos to them for playing it that way, because it did hinder us. But I think what hindered us the most was, and I'll put it up right now, this starting 11. I think everybody saw this and everybody felt the same way. Why? Why are you playing with three in the back? The success we've had this year has been with four in the back. Every big win, Nashville, Orlando, all with four in the back. When have we played like shit? The preseason with three in the back. Who else did we get our ass kicked with three in the back? Everybody. Whenever we play with three in the back, we play horribly. Why is Tata doing this? And I always preface it by saying Tata's probably forgotten more football than I've ever learned. But I'm starting to think that he's starting to forget some shit, because he's playing. It makes no sense. You don't need to know soccer to know that this shit doesn't work.
I mean, my three-year-old son has been yelling at the TV for the last 3 weeks, 4-3-3. What do you want me to say? I mean, my three-year-old son already knows more than Tata. He's been saying 4-3-3. He tells me, Papa, ¿por qué no juega 4-3-3? And I'm like, no entiendo. No entiendo el Tata. No entiendo. Papa, ¿por qué no juega 4-3-3? It's tough, man. It's tough. I saw this lineup come out. I was at, you know, for those of you that are just joining us now and that weren't on the live stream and didn't hear me, I was at the Heat game earlier doing some reporting for our other podcast that we do with Danny and with Chris and with Italy Jet over with the Batter Heat fans. Batter so Heat. I was at the Heat game. Mm-hmm. We got completely annihilated. So it's been a terrible night for me. I've been drinking since 7:30. It's been awful.
You had nice seats, though.
I did have nice seats. I did. I'm waiting to take you, Danny. I'm waiting to take you. Anyways.
And real quick, Super Inter Shot. Alba needs to chill. Mm-hmm.
I agree, bro. I don't think he needs to chill, Super Shot. I love that. I love that Alba is like that. Now, thank you so much for the super chat there.
Super Slam.
That's what it's called, Super Slam? I'm not
used to that's stuff, what Chris bro. Calls him.
It's what Chris calls him. Okay. All right. I'm going to call it Super Slam. I'm gonna follow the Chris, the KDB. Yeah. You know, atmosphere here, and we're going to call it Super Slam. So thank you for the Super Slam. But look, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think Inter Miami had it. I think the only team that showed that they had it was the MLS champion, which was, you know, the Columbus Crew. They showed that they could win in Mexico. I was pissed off when I saw, you know, Tata put out that lineup of 5-3-2. I wanted to see the 4-3-3. My three-year-old son wanted to see the 4-3-3. You know, I just don't understand why he doesn't continue to play the 4-3-3. Is it because of players? Is it because Afonso was hurt? Is it because Ben Krem wasn't ready? I don't know. Why didn't he use a sub? These are all questions that I want to ask Tata Martino. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed in the press room to ask.
Because you're a jerk. That's why. All right. What I was going to say. Tank saying Kremaki probably didn't get in because he wasn't match fit. I saw him warming up. I thought we had some hope. Why is it to psych out the other team that you have those guys running out warming up for no reason?
He was fit and he was ready to go. It was just Tata's, you know, Tata just not wanting to put him in. But he was fit, ready to go. I saw videos of him yesterday. You know, training with the team, practicing with the team, and he was ready to go. He was fit. Inter Miami had a full fit lineup other than David Ruiz and, you know, the obvious, you know, injuries to Redondo, Taylor, and to, you know, our number eight, Campana. Other than that, the team was ready to go. So the fact that, Tata chose to go with a 5-3-2 is completely disappointing.
And CJC, getting a red card is a great way to get off the pitch when your coach is Tata Alba playing 4D chess. I mean, I guess you could definitely think of it that way.
100%. I don't remember what the name of that series was in the summer that everybody was talking about. There was that chess series. I don't know if you remember on Netflix, but, you know, Alba was definitely playing whatever that girl was playing on. I think it was called, like, the Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit.
You know, Alba was playing the Queen's Gambit because – he definitely knew it was up. He got that red card. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't ready to play anymore. He was ready to go sit it out on the bench. Unfortunately, you know, pobrecito Alba, he didn't get that beautiful view of the mountains for the end of the game. you know, and super weird. The referee just called it off at the 90th minute, right?
It is. I didn't mind it though, because at that point, like, you know, the game's over. You know, the game's over at that point. They're just going to start kicking each other at some point. So I get it why they might have done it. I understand also why the players and coach might be upset about it, but I don't think it's that big a deal because I think I understand. And LM10, what does the lineup to do with the performance? Please tell me. LM10 hates when we talk formations and tactics. He says I don't know ball because I talk about it too much. I think that it's not a coincidence, LM10, that whenever Tata rolls out with the three in the back, Inter Miami plays poorly. I think the way you set up your players is one of the main things and main responsibility that a manager has. I feel like that's the manager's job. Put the players that are best out there and put them in the best positions to succeed. Otherwise, you just let 11 people just run out there and just do whatever they want to do and be crazy. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I don't understand why you constantly come at me with this whole stop talking formations. It doesn't make a difference. I feel like it does make a difference. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the chat will agree with you. But I think it makes a slight difference. And again, we haven't succeeded with this. With 4-3-3, we've had success.
I mean, Danny, and I'll back you up. As a person who's played in super high, you know, level situations, formation makes a huge difference because formation will dictate what kind of strategy you want to go to. Do you want to go to a high-pressing strategy? Tata playing with three in the back, essentially five in the back, really, because, you know, Wigan and Alba essentially push up, but they really play five in the back. And so it's a completely different strategy when Tata plays five in the back than when he plays 4-3-3, because when he plays 4-3-3, it's a much higher pressing line that he has with Suarez, Messi, and whoever that third forward is. So we didn't have that today, and so that allowed Monterrey to build from the back and just counterattack us and just kind of sit still. Suarez was alone for most of the game today. He didn't get a lot of chances. And so I think, you know, not having that third forward really affects Suarez, you know, being that only forward and Messi kind of pinching in to kind of get the ball in the midfield. So, you know, LM10, you got to listen to my boy Danny, bro. He knows what he's talking about.
Tariq, you sure Tata was prioritizing CCC? It doesn't look like it. I'm with you, Tariq. Like, they said that they were prioritizing this, and I get it. If Messi's not fit last week, you know what? Who am I to say? Maybe he just didn't feel right. But, man, I think things would be better if he would have gotten on there for 10, 15 minutes. Now, if he couldn't, that's fine. You know, what am I going to do? But if you were prioritizing it, man, this wasn't the game to mess around with three in the back. And if Messi could have played some minutes, you would have let him play. But apparently he wasn't. And again, I can't keep talking about that because if he wasn't fit, he wasn't fit. I feel like Messi's the type of guy that'll play if he can play. And LM10, you are right. Miami's defense is poor. Now, for as poor, and I mean, obviously today we got scored on three times. I mean, they haven't really like given up a ton of goals this year. As bad as we kill the defense, like, yeah, we get beat on the counter once or twice, but overall, like, we haven't been disastrous. We're not giving up four or five goals every week. So
this is the most goals that we've given up all season. If I'm not mistaken, And I'm looking here at the historical of the Inter Miami season. And I mean, you know, they gave up three goals to Monterrey, two to Colorado over the weekend, two to Monterrey last weekend. You know, they gave up four to New York Red Bulls. You know, unfortunately, it was that big, you know, weird weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave away three to Montreal, two to Nashville, and that's it. I mean, they haven't given up more to anybody else all season. So those of you folks that are complaining about the back line, when Tata has that back line of, you know, whether it be Yedlin, now it's not Yedlin, you know, that fashion, you know, enigma is now in Cincinnati. But, you know, we have Wigant now. So when we have Wigant, we have Aviles, Ferreira, and Alba playing that back four, we're pretty, pretty solid. It's those games where Tata, being Tata, tries to play five in the back or three in the back, where we kind of complicate ourselves and we don't seem to have the connectiveness between the team or the chemistry to be able to play that formation, and it just doesn't work out for us. So I don't understand why he doesn't just stick to the 4-3-3. We talked about it yesterday on the Spanish episode, but it's just so annoying that, you know, you feel like the team is on a roll now on the 4-3-3. You know, they tied a couple games. They had a rough patch against Monterrey, but they played okay against Colorado. They played okay against New York City FC. And you figure coming out with the 4-3-3, they would dominate Monterrey away, and then he doesn't do that. It's got to be disappointing. No, don't you think, Danny?
100%. It's 100% disappointing. And I keep saying this. I'm assuming it's Monterrey fantastic. And is Monterrey still overrated? I said that they were overrated. I didn't say they were a bad team. I said they were overrated because everybody told me that they would come in the first leg. They would dominate. And honestly, they wouldn't have won that first game if it's not for that red card. So when I said that they're overrated, it was based on that first game. They didn't dominate. They should have lost that game, actually. Now they came, and then they played very well today. So, all right. And then I know Chris has your name very well. I do not. But thank you for the Super Slam. At this rate, do you think we are winning any cups?
I got you. D-Money, I got you, bro. Udaya Kumar. I got you.
Oh, okay. There you go. Now answer his question. Do you think he's going to win any?
Can you put it up again? I didn't see the whole question. I was concentrating on the full name because you said Chris needed to get it right. So since Chris is not here today, poor Chris, he's got a toothache. You know, we hope he can get it done, you know, fixed tomorrow, and he can be back,
he's a baby,
you know, back with us tomorrow night. But at this rate, do you see we are winning any, you know, any cup? Look, I think Inter Miami can win the Leagues Cup. I think they can still win the MLS Cup. Remember, there's only 7 games they've played so far. There's 38 games to be played in the season. They just need to be within the top 9 to make it into the playoffs. If they have a healthy team, I think they can go the full length of the playoffs. Now, Leagues Cup is a different animal. What do you think, Danny? I think they can win Leagues Cup. I think so also. If Messi if Messi comes off a Copa America where he's on fire, I think watch out for the MLS.
Real quick, Tank said the shit field was a legal way of cheating. I think that's hilarious. And
I am
surprised that that was so bad. And Doe says, can we count how many times we had a really good chance of pushing forward, but instead they just played it back to the defenders and back to Drake? Makes no sense. Well, I think it goes back to the way that Monterrey was playing. Again, they congested the midfield. They forced us wide. And they wanted to find Messi. So they would kick it back and they'd find whoever was the center back or whatever. Let's whip it back around. Let's figure out a way to get it up the middle. And it's frustrating, right? It was a pass back by, was it Aviles that passed it back to Drake when he made that mistake? Like, obviously, they forced us into mistakes doing that. But, you know, that's why they weren't pushing forward, in my opinion. That's why it was.
I think Inter Miami wasn't pushing forward at the beginning because they were just trying to understand the game that, you know, Tata Ortiz and Rayados was going to kind of throw at them, you know, being home. So they were just kind of feeling it out. Unfortunately, you know, 20 minutes in, Drake has that disaster. And that happens.
It happened yesterday to Columbus.
That's what I'm saying. It happens to everybody. So you can't be upset at Drake. I mean, yes, you can be upset. Sorry, let me take that back. You can be upset at Drake, but you can't be that upset because he's fantastic under the three posts. So he saved Inter Miami's butt so many times. You can't be that mad at him. But it's something that, Danny, you and I, Chris, you know, and Javi have talked about over the period of the last 6 months that we've been doing Battered Herons in Espanol, and also since you and Chris have been doing Battered and Herons in English, is that, you know, unfortunately, Drake is just not that great with his feet, not that great coming out with the ball. And it's something that he needs to work on in order to become that elite goalkeeper that we all think that he should be.
Alejandro, the back line says, and appreciate the super slam, the back line passes the ball like a five-year-old. Look, I think that is the biggest issue with our defense. Our biggest issue with our defense isn't the defense itself. It's the fact that they can't possess the ball well. They can't distribute the ball. They're poor with the ball at their feet. And it's like with goalkeepers nowadays. Before, you could be a goalkeeper in the early 90s and the 80s, and you don't have to worry about having good footwork, right? When you used to see Rene Higuita, it was like one in a million because players didn't play like that. Now, every goalkeeper is expected to be good with the ball at his feet. And defenders are also. You have to be able to build out of the back. And unfortunately, we don't have that quality of center backs to do such a thing. And Elam says, the players are not playing football. Tata could not pass and score from the bench. And this goes back to the tactics, LM10. I feel like you need to put your player, you know who's on your team. So as a manager, manage it. If you know that these players are not good possessing the ball, then figure out a way around that. If you know that having three in the back is a detriment because it keeps us susceptible to the counterattack because we only have three in the back instead of four, or the fact that they can't play or link up well with each other, then you got to figure something else out. I don't want to say I've been a Tata defender because I haven't, but I haven't wanted to come down on Tata either because I feel like, I mean, for the most part, he hasn't lost much since he's been the coach here. But today was frustrating, and it's really hard to defend him after today.
I will go against you for 1 second, and I will be devil's advocate with you, Danny.
Go for it.
So my good friend and the leader of the Green Lock Gang, Mike Longan, me and him had a back and forth over the weekend about this. And he says, and I quote him again, I haven't done the research myself, but this is, I quote him. He says, Tata Martinez has only won 15% of the games that Messi hasn't played. Now, I think that's a loaded kind of comment. Why? Obviously, this team depends on Messi more than more than any other team. So obviously, this team is not going to win when Messi plays. Now, do I think it's fair to rate Tata on just the fact that if Messi doesn't play, the team loses? No, absolutely not. Because I think the way that the team has been formed has been very top heavy. You have very great players who make a lot of money, like Messi, like Suarez, like Busquets, like Alba. And then you have a lot of young players like Ruiz, Kremaski, Diego Gomez, and Federico Redondo, who unfortunately now is injured. And that's the way that this team was formed. Now this team has some injuries and they can't perform to their full potential. So look, in terms of what would have to happen for Tata to be fired, I think they would have to go on a complete, like, 10-game losing streak, number one. Do I think ownership looks elsewhere for Messi's last year? No. I think Tata's safe for the rest of the year. And if they do,
it would be somebody that he knows. Until June. Mm-hmm. He's safe until June. Kind of like the Neville thing last year, where you knew Neville wasn't going to go anywhere. It hit early June, late May maybe. All of a sudden, Javier Vasquez is there interim, and you knew Tata was waiting in the wings. Same thing this year. I wouldn't be surprised if Xavi is – I mean, they already said Xavi's not coming back in Barca, so he's going to be available. So I wouldn't be surprised if Xavi's waiting the wings, which I don't want. But if Tata starts dropping the ball, I could see it. And then to the point that you made with Mike Longin before we get back to the game itself, I've talked to Mike also. He's told me the same stupid thing. One thing, he said he's only won 15% of those, but how many has he lost? Because there were a lot of draws in there also. And my other thing is, it's the MLS. Unfortunately, in the MLS, because there's a salary cap, if you lose your star player, whether it be Messi, whether it be Cucho Hernandez, whether it be, I forgot the guy's name in LAFC, Baluga, whatever.
Buanga?
Buanga, there we go. When you lose your star player in the MLS, it makes a huge difference. So it's not just a Tata and Inter Miami problem. It's a league-wide problem because when you have such a restricted salary cap that you miss that one big player, your team's going to suffer overall. If you miss two big players, like let's say Messi and Redondo, you're really going to suffer. Robert Taylor added to that. Like, come on. I think that's a silly thing to say.
I agree 100%. And that's what my rebuttal was to Mike. And you know, again, not to put his name in the mud or anything, it's fantastic to have this kind of back and forth with such diehard Inter Miami fans, because I really want to know what the fan base thinks. So, and I assume so do you, so does Chris. And that's the whole point of all these podcasts, to understand what the fan base thinks, interact with them, and kind of go back and forth with them. So I thought it was interesting that he posed that, you know, question. But I agree with you, Danny. I'm 100%. I think that if you're missing your best player, your DP, the guy you're paying $50 million to, whatever it is that you're paying him, obviously your team is going to suffer. Let's not be dumb. You know, you don't have somebody that's just going to go in and just replace him, right? It's not. This isn't the. I mean, not to compare it to the NBA. You know, in the days where LeBron, you know, was on the Cavs and LeBron was out, the Cavs were going to basically lose.
Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that 2017 that LeBron took to the finals? They would have the top three pick in the draft if LeBron wasn't on that team.
That's what I'm saying. It's same thing with Inter Miami. I mean, Inter Miami, you have Luis Suarez, you have Jordi Alba, you have Sergio Busquets, but these are not, you know, these are not the same three guys that were, you know, the three guys that were on the Barcelona 2013-2012 team who won, you know, the Champions League. And I think that's what happens with this fan base. They're expecting these guys to be those guys from 10 years ago and to win every single game, Danny. And yeah. I don't think that's you know, that's okay to believe that way, because these guys are older, these guys are slower, and they need the younger guys. I love this guy, the guy.
Oh, real quick, Kyrie Florida man. That was 2007. Kyrie wasn't on that Cavs team. Kyrie was drafted in 2011. I get what you're saying. But real quick, to everybody that expects us to win every game, maybe we don't win every game. But again, we're third in the East right now. We haven't been losing. Yes, we've been having unfortunate and frustrating draws, but we haven't been losing. So, yes, I understand he's only won 15% of the games that Messi's played. That's great. But he hasn't lost all those games either. And when you're missing your top player, and remember, it's not just him. It's the fact that, and I hear I'm sounding like I'm defending Tata. Right now, I don't want to defend Tata. But when you're missing Messi, and you're missing Redondo, and you're missing Cremaschi, and you're missing players here and player there, like, look, Franco Negri finally came back. How great would he have been if he would have been there all season? So,
how amazing would it be if you're subbing out Jordi Alba, or you're subbing out one of your center midfielders who has a yellow card, to move Jordi Alba up and put Franco Negri at left back, instead of having to put Noah Allen, or instead of having to, you know, finagle your lineup to go to five in the back, or, you know, make some sort of weird lineup up. Now Tata has all his, you know, basically all his assets at his disposal in terms of the regular season. Now there's no more Champions Cup. Now it's all about MLS Cup, right?
Yeah, that's it.
So I mean, and I see, you know, Versace here says we need to eat the Tata Humble pie, but I mean, I don't think it's really necessary like the Tata Humble pie. I think it's just the MLS Humble pie. That's just the way the MLS today is designed. Columbus Crew is just an anomaly compared to everybody else. Seattle Sounders is just an anomaly. You know, Inter Miami still needs, I think, one more year in order to compete with the rest of Mexico. And I think that the rules that the MLS is looking to pass over the next, you know, year is going to help the MLS compete with no, you know, with Liga MX.
I don't over the next I don't few think years. So.
You don't think so?
No, arriba pandilla. Congrats there, Diego. I like Diego. Even though he threw a little insult there, say he thought Messi was going to play. He did play. He just couldn't get the ball because you guys did what we did to Brandon Vasquez and I forgot this other guy's name, Canales, the first game. I lost my train of thought. What were we just talking about?
I was kind of mentioning a little bit about, you know, Liga MX and how
the rule changes.
Know, the rule changes are going to help MLS kind of compete with Liga MX.
The reason I don't think so, I don't know if you saw some of the rule changes, but I thought that they might add a fourth DP. What they did was they kept it at three DPs, and they got rid of the whole three U22 initiative players if and then the young DP, they got rid of all that crap. So you just have three U22 initiative players and three DPs. So that's good, six good players. And if you only have two DPs, then you can have four U22 initiative players. I feel like that's – just let us have four DPs. Like, I get it. You're trying to make the league a little younger. That's cute. All right. But God damn it, man. Just give us four of each. Or raise the salary cap. They raised it to five. Like, what is this? You don't agree? Okay, that's fine.
Oh, it was already five. What do you mean they raised it to five? It was already five.
Okay, they raised it. Well, then they didn't raise it at all. Go ahead.
They're POSs. Anyways, I've been very vocal on social media. I think they need to do away with the salary cap. I think you and I disagree upon that, which I think is key. You think it's vital to have a salary cap. I don't. You know, again, if we have a salary cap, I think you need to raise it at least 10, 15, 20 million. These owners that want to spend, let them spend. The owners that are in the small markets that don't want to spend, that's their problem. Like, at what point do we just continue to allow parity just to allow parity instead of allowing our owners, you know, Jorge Mas wants to win. He wants to sign the best players possible. He's not allowed to. How is that fair?
I think it's fair because you want parity in the league. Like, I know that you are okay with it because you're accustomed to it all over the world. But there's nothing I hate more than the huge disparity in quality between Man City and Luton, whatever the hell they're called. Luton. I forgot their name. The ones that play like in the backyard of a house or something. Like, I think that it's ridiculous. The extreme difference in quality between those two teams. You got to bring that gap a little closer. I feel, and especially more than anything, because in this country, the fan base isn't large enough to survive a team completely shitting the bed and being uncompetitive for other people to start watching it. You need to have the competitive nature in there to get more fans. If I know that my local team sucks and that all the good teams are always going to be good and my team's always going to suck, why would I become a new soccer fan? I already have enough torture with my NFL and NBA and all those other teams. If you're trying to grow the sport, I don't think it makes sense to get rid of the salary cap, which is just a conversation for another day. But
no, I mean, we could have literally 3-4 episodes just on this topic. So, I mean, let's skip it.
And I joined I was on with Tactical Manager yesterday talking about this, which I actually had somebody else on and they were very knowledgeable, but big time talkers. So I didn't get too many words in, but yeah, we were talking about this, just yesterday with Tactical Manager, because I just don't think it works here. All right. I mean, we can get into the game. I mean, I know we're like 35 minutes in, but just real quick, there were no subs, overall. We held possession 60% of the time. And as far as scoring goes, I think we both agree when Brandon Vasquez scored that goal in the 31st minute that deflated the team. It was a huge mistake by Drake. I know I've seen a lot of people say, oh, we need a new goalie. I think Drake is still, especially by MLS standards, I think Drake is great. It's unfortunate what happened. It really is. But I don't know. I still would ride with Drake. He made some great saves today.
Look, you can cut this clip if you want. You can put it on full focus if you want, but you can cut this clip. Drake Callender is by far the best goalkeeper under the three pipes in the MLS, and I have zero doubt in my mind. Now, does he have trouble coming out with his feet? Absolutely. Does he have a little bit of confidence issues coming out on set pieces? Absolutely. But does that take away from the fact that he's the best goalkeeper under the three pipes? No. Now, did those other two pieces affect our outcome today? Absolutely. Does Sebastián Saja need to, you know, work with him more on this? Absolutely. But I do think it's time for possibly, you know, Tata giving a chance to CJ Dos Santos possibly in these next few games. You know, let Drake, you know, give him a couple days, you know, a couple games off. Let him clear his mind. Let him understand, you know, kind of, you know, what went on. And let, you know, CJ Dos Santos have the next two games and kind of see what he can do.
Rohan, you know, might have a point right here.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, I mean, Hugo Lloris, you're talking about a World Cup winning goalkeeper.
Yeah. I completely forgot he was in the league, yeah.
Crazy,
so,
right?
Okay, Drake is top three. Drake is top three for sure.
100%, no doubt. And again, top three, possibly the best. And that's including Lloris.
I'll let you stay on that's that hill by yourself.
I mean, again, you know me, bro. I say my shit, yeah. And I know that I'm crazy. Yeah. But you know that I believe what I say, so that's
what you're saying. And you can't take what Tank says seriously because he's just a Drake header. And then he's saying Berkey from St. Louis.
Berkey is a fantastic goalkeeper. Berkey is great.
Top three, Drake for me. Top three for sure.
100%.
All right. So at halftime, we were down 1-0. What were you thinking at halftime? I know I joined you once the second half started, but at halftime. Me personally, I still thought that we would score two goals, and I still thought that this would go to extra time. Where were you mentally at halftime?
I was 100% with you. I still thought Inter Miami was able to score two goals. I thought that I was hoping going into the half that I would notice that the 3-5-2 or 5-3-2 wasn't working. He would make some sort of substitution, maybe bring in a Leo Afonso, and kind of pressure up top and go look for the game. Unfortunately, he didn't. He stayed pat, you know, with that 5-3-2. It didn't work into, you know, for Inter Miami's favor. And it ended up in negative, goals and a negative outcome for Inter Miami. But I honestly think that if Tata hadn't made a sub, that the outcome would have been different. Because I thought Inter Miami was pressuring. They were getting to the goal, and they had, the options to score. They just didn't capitalize.
And I'm with Tariq. I'm still shocked it didn't make any subs. It is wild. Maybe that's why he was upset that they called the game in the 90th minute, because he's like, I was gonna put in a sub right now. Like maybe he was waiting for the 91st, 92nd minute. At halftime.
I love that Nomad says that it looks like he thinks that I'm drunk as fuck, but I mean, I'm not. I'm still drinking some water.
The no subs thing to me is wild. At halftime, when the first half ended, I didn't think Inter Miami looked horrible. I thought that they didn't create a lot of chances. They looked frustrated. That's fine. But Monterrey didn't necessarily create a lot of chances in that first half either. When you look at the first half, we had two shots. They had five shots, and one of those was obviously that cheap Drake mistake. So Monterrey wasn't necessarily dominating that first half, but I could tell that we did need some type of change. And I thought that that's where I turned on Tata, because up until there, first half, I thought it was okay. It's okay. Let's go ahead and make the adjustments, right? You're the coach. It's time to make some adjustments. Let's try to figure things out. Let's take Allen out. Let's go with four in the back. Let's put Negri in at left back. Let's move Jordi Alba to the top, to the left wing, or, you know, bring in Alphonse. Do something. Because obviously, even though you weren't playing horrible in the first half, you knew that things weren't looking great either as far as scoring two goals. So why not try something different? And when we didn't try something different, that's when I started becoming frustrated. When the 60th minute comes, and at that point, they already have two goals, and no changes are coming, that's when it starts getting more frustrated. You're waiting for something tactically or a substitution, something. But we got absolutely nothing. At that point, that's when Tata lost me. Tata lost me at that point because it's frustrating to see how stubborn he is.
I mean, what can you say about Tata? Look, am I pissed off that he didn't make any subs? Obviously. He had Ben Krim. He had Negri. He had Yene Bright. He had Sunderland. He had Afonso. He had Borgelin. Obviously, these are not attractive names, right? These are not names that you'd be like, oh, my God. You know, these guys are going to come in and make a difference. These are fresh legs. These are guys that have proven they can play in MLS games. And don't get me wrong, Monterrey, and I saw in our comments, folks have talked. I've been asking if Monterrey is overrated or not. Monterrey is not overrated. Monterrey is probably the best team in North Mexico. America. Yeah, yeah.
In North America.
But let's talk about, I mean, we're talking about Mexico, but probably the best team in Mexico. But these other guys that I've been talking about, you know, the Yannick Brights, the Leo Alfonsos, the, you know, Ben Krems, could have made somewhat of a difference in terms of legs. Remember, these guys, you know, Sergi Busquets, Diego Gomez, you're talking about other guys that have been playing games after games after games, minutes after minutes after minutes. Those accumulate. I mean, the guys are tired. So these fresh legs could have offered Inter Miami something different in the second half. And I think Tata would have benefited from going from a 5-3-2 to a 4-3-3. And it would have at least given us some extra ability to pressure up front and try to, you know, maybe create some sort of turnover in the final third and get a goal.
And look, to your point with a sub, the gentleman Wake said, we really miss Redondo in the midfield. I agree, because Redondo, what he would do is he would push the ball up. But when you have Gressel in the midfield, you can't count on Gressel doing that. Gressel is his thing is, oh, he's a great crosser. That's it. But he's not pushing the ball forward. He's not progressing the ball for you. But you know who would have done something like that? Cremaki. He was doing it at League's Cup all the time. He was pushing the ball forward, getting passes into the final third. I think that Cremaki would have been great to sub out Gressel, for example. If you want to keep that three in the back, put him instead of Gressel. Gressel wasn't doing much today.
I still would have kept Gressel in just for his leadership and for his, you know, he's a veteran. He's played in these leagues before. I would have taken out Allen just because he's young. You know, he hasn't played in this situation before. I would have put in Kedemaski because he would have given us those young legs, that, you know, young, what we call in Spanish, picares, where he, you know, kind of goes at, you know, defenders one-on-one and gives you those options in the final third. I would have loved to have Kedemaski in there. I'm very upset that Tata didn't put him in. I'm actually very upset that he didn't put in any substitute, because I thought, especially after the Jordi Alba red card, we would have gotten some sort of, you know, offensive substitution.
Something.
Something, yeah. But, I mean, look, I'm as frustrated as you are with Tata. I don't think it's time for him to go home yet, you know, back to Argentina and to bring in Xavi. But I do think it's time for him to be put on the hot seat.
Well, I mean, I guess the only positive out of this is that we have no more Wednesday games until May 15th when we travel to Orlando. So no more Wednesday games. That's a positive, I guess. Now, we're going to talk about KC tomorrow. But somebody did bring up an interesting point about there being 70,000 at that Arrowhead on Saturday, and you might not get Messi. What do you think? I think Apple TV is going to ask Messi to play, even if it's just for that second half. You think Messi runs out there on Saturday?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, yeah, man. You know that contract that Apple has with the MLS, and you know, Messi played the full 90 today. He played 45 the game before. I think he at least plays 45, especially now that knowing you don't have any CONCACAF Champions League going forward. I mean, I think it's just obvious that Messi has to play. You know, if he's healthy, he's got to play. So I think he plays at least 45. You know, against Sporting Kansas City this weekend on Saturday. It's going to be a crazy game. 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central. So it'll be basically on prime time. So I expect a full force Miami with a David Ruiz in the lineup, ready to go and challenge Sporting KC.
Well, we're going to get into that game tomorrow. But as far as today goes, just overall disappointing, because going into this season, Tata and all the players, they all said Champions Cup is the priority. That is what we want. And we flamed out. Now, do you feel a little better because it was against the best team? Not really, because I felt like we could have beat them the first leg. So it's still as disappointing as it would have been. But it's frustrating overall. But, I mean, you still have the regular season, which is far from over. You still have Leagues Cup, which I think that they can win. They won it last year. I don't see why they wouldn't be. Well, I mean, if you run into Monterrey again, who knows? But I think they aren't. And Chukho says they aren't that good. Monterrey is, just going by the rankings of teams in CONCACAF, they are actually ranked number one. They are the best team in Mexico right now. But the reason I say that they are good is because they are good. But if you've seen the people killing me in the comments, I did call them overrated because I thought that they didn't perform that well in the first leg. But they obviously performed much better today. Alejandro, hey, thank God we scored one goal. Yeah. I mean, we got one. We got one, so for sure. And I don't
hey,
think
shout out
for that supportership.
Hey, shout out for KDB's favorite player, Diego Gomez, on getting that header goal. I mean, I'm sure he was so happy and he screamed that goal like if it was, you know, the end of his life. But I know Chris is a big supporter of Diego Gomez, so you know, shout out to Diego Gomez and shout out to Chris, you know, supporting that goal. I know he was he was fired up with that for sure.
Gomez that turned the ball over for that last goal?
He did. That's why I didn't want to mention anything. But I wanted to mention the goal. I didn't want to mention the turnover, Mike, but of course, D-Money, you got to mention the turnover.
You have to. And Dennis saying MLS Cup or bust, 100%. I came into the season saying you need two trophies. That's what I always said. You're down to only two possible trophies. Now, supportership doesn't count as a trophy. So it's either it has to be Leagues Cup and MLS Cup.
Absolutely.
It has to be.
Absolutely. I think MLS Cup is a must. I think that was always the number one priority, really. I think front office, you know, Jorge Mas and the players always say Champions
quick.
Cup because
– Juan, go ahead, yes. Go ahead. Just real quick to answer Juan. Yes, they're actually in third place right now. So just for him asking. All right, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Tulane, I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying that, you know, considering that, you know, Tata in the front office said that Champions was the priority, I think realistically, I think they know that the priority is winning MLS Cup, winning Leagues Cup, something that they know that can be attainable. And, you know, look, CONCACAF is a tough league to win. Only one MLS team has won in the history, and that's Seattle. And now only one MLS team is going into
DC
the semifinal.
DC won it also.
Columbus. They did? Oh, well,
yeah,
I'm
late 90s.
Well, I'm incorrect.
That was in the late 90s, though, so.
Thank you. So before mm-hmm. it was real. Yeah. But I mean, Columbus proved it yesterday that somebody can win in Mexico. Unfortunately, Inter Miami couldn't. But I think, you know, again, they were, you know, they were, you know, succumbed to, unfortunately, a young player who got a red card in the first leg. They shouldn't have, you know, lost the first leg. And losing the first leg and going into, you know, your rival's territory really, really, really causes, you know, a lot of nervousness, a lot of anxiety, a lot of pressure. And Inter Miami just couldn't do it.
100%. Mitch said tonight, I am truly a battered fan. Yeah, man, I'm with
you. We all are.
Yeah, we're a battered family here. And for those asking, July 26th is when Leagues Cup begins. So, I mean, I can't see why we wouldn't win that. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be easy, but definitely got to go on it on that. CONCACAF isn't a tough league. It's a frustrating league. Yeah, it's a federation, but 100% frustrating and battered, yes. All right, so overall, Chris, Solana, we're coming to an end here. Your final thoughts on tonight's game and just the performance overall in Miami's first international appearance?
Look, I mean, overall, you know, they were able to pass, one of the series. They were able to get past Nashville. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get into, you know, semifinals and finals, which is what the fan base and what the world really wanted. They were stopped, unfortunately, by, you know, by the scheduling and by a tough, you know, opponent in Monterrey. And if you're going to lose to somebody, I think Monterrey is the right, you know, the right foe to lose to. You know, unfortunately, it sucks.
Tariq, stay off Twitter for the next few days if you don't want any headaches.
Never. Yeah. I'll be on there tomorrow. I'll be on there in 20 minutes.
I got a notification that Eddie actually tagged us in something, so I can only imagine what I'm going to look at my phone and see on Twitter. But
Just wait till I tag him in what I have tomorrow.
And Juan here, final thought, is Messi's too old? I don't think Messi's too old. I think that you caught him in the perfect time because he didn't play the first leg. I think that you'd be singing a different tune, Juan, but, you know, it didn't happen, so I can't talk about ifs, ands, or buts. So enjoy yourself. First international appearance, I mean, like you said, they made it past their first opponent, I guess, is a positive. It sucks because you kind of wish you would know what the outcome would have been if we wouldn't have gotten that red card that first game, because I think we could have had a better showing. But, you know, we'll see. I mean,
I'll tell you this, Danny. Inter Miami, and you can post it right here, man. Inter Miami will be part of the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup.
Yeah, I think they have to figure out a way to get Messi in there. I mean, that's going to help just the viewership, period. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is all business. And Tariq said, I think all three goals scored on us today were mistakes we made. Well, two for sure. That Diego Gomez giveaway was a mistake. And then obviously the Drake one is horrendous. But it wasn't Brandon Vasquez. Who was it that hit that rocket to the top right corner?
It was Berterame. The Argentine.
Yeah, number 9, yes, there you go. So, for sure, that one, I don't know if I would classify it as a mistake. That was just a golazo. But, you know, whatever. We're here, and the season is still long from over. So, hopefully, and thank you for everybody that was telling me. It was far from over, so here we go again. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the KC game because, like I said, the regular season is far from over. But you can catch Solano with us in the Battered Herons and Espanol on Monday nights at 10 o'clock. But tomorrow we'll be doing the preview in English if Chris is not being a little baby about his tooth. But we'll see. So if you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, and all that other good stuff. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and leave us comments. Let us know what you think about Tata because I'm curious to see if everybody is on the Tata out. I'm not there quite yet, but man, I am so close. so close. Because I don't blame you, but I'm getting so close because
I'm not there. I'll tell you one thing though. If Chris is a bitch, I'll be here tomorrow with you. It looks like the fans are loving the Solana joining the English episode. So I'll be here tomorrow if Chris is a bitch and his tooth still hurts. So if he's a bitch, I'm here.
Mitch said more watch alongs. Well, go ahead. You're the Mr. Pronunciation. Gully Chris. I'm going to assume it's Gully Chris. Said he'll be here from Switzerland. So we appreciate you joining us all the way from Switzerland. And thank you guys for hanging out with us because it's you know, misery loves company. So that's just what it is. And it's late night, man. What time is it? It's 1:22.
It's 1:22. We're here because of them, Ben. You and me are here because mm-hmm. are here because of the fans, bro. We're here because of the followers are here. So
honestly, I have a conspiracy theory. I think Chris started faking that toothache. He took a while getting the water. Yes, I think he took a while getting the water. And then all of a sudden, they score in the 58th minute, the 65th minute. And he's like, you know what? I'm not staying up till 2 in the morning to talk about this shit. That's my conspiracy theory.
Can I give you like an even more conspiracy theory?
Go for it.
We've had more followers on the podcast since you and I have been on here, since me and Chris have been on here. Watch out.
Hey.
Watch out.
All right. So again, might be back with some
whiskey tomorrow. We'll see.
So we appreciate you guys. Chris is exposed. Chris is an actor. Ooh, wait till Chris watches all this. All right. And again, Solana, thanks for jumping in with us. We really appreciate always. You. And again, Solana is always on with us in Espanol on Monday nights at 10 o'clock. And hopefully in the very, very near future, we'll be doing it twice a week in Spanish. So look out for that. And again, we're battered, but we'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow. So go ahead. And we'll end it with this. Alejandro, Solana has a nice wall. Yeah, for sure. So again, appreciate you guys. It was a lot of fun. And until the next one, have a good one.